Going Linux, episode 195, Solid State Drives on Linux. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy. Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux. We hope that you'll find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done. In today's episode, Solid State Drives on Linux. Well, since this is the first episode for 2013, I thought I would give Bill and Tom the day off. They have been working their butts off for the longest time, and they deserve some time off. So here we are at the end of 2012, recording the first episode for 2013. The guys are taking a break, and I'm here to share with you an article that I wrote for the website. I've entitled the article, Five Tweaks to Make After Installing an SSD Drive. And this all came about because this past holiday season, I decided to spend some money on myself and update my computer hardware. I wanted the speed of an SSD, a solid state drive, and lots of RAM, the weight of an ultrabook, and the long battery life afforded by the latest mobile processor technology. After toying with replacing my two-year-old notebook with a thin, light, sexy ultrabook with Linux pre-installed, I decided to upgrade my existing computer instead. What I realized is that with a couple of upgrades, my existing notebook computer could match most of the specs of what passes for ultrabooks these days. I would have to give up a 6-hour battery, of course, and my i5 processor wouldn't have the capabilities of the newest mobile processors, but those were almost the only trade-offs. During my research for a wholesale replacement, boasting a 6-hour battery life and weighing in at a mere 3.25 pounds, Zarezan's UltraLap 430 easily beat out the competition. Maxed out, I could get a 14.1-inch ultrabook with an i5-3317U processor, 16 gigabytes of RAM, 512-gigabyte SSD drive, and one-year warranty for about $1,500. The runner-up was the 14.1-inch System 76 Lemur Ultra with an i5-310M processor, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and 512-gigabyte SSD drive, and of course a one-year warranty for under $1,200. What I realized was that the System 76 and most of the other ultrabooks with Linux pre-installed were about the same weight as my current computer, 4.5 pounds. If I was going to spend over $1,000 on an ultrabook, I wanted it to be an ultra-lightweight ultrabook with an ultra-long-life battery. It would be the UltraLap 430 or nothing. So it was time to compare replacing with upgrading my existing hardware. My existing 14.1-inch HP Pavilion DM4 1063CL is just out of warranty after a little over 2 years of use. With a meager 4 gigabytes of RAM and with the battery already upgraded a year ago to a 9-cell version, I'm getting a respectable 2 hours of battery life. Its i5-M430 processor clocks in at an also respectable maximum speed of 2.53 gigahertz. The cost of maxing out the RAM to 8 gigabytes and replacing the 500 gigabyte spinning drive with a 512 gigabyte SSD came out to 1/3 of that of the sexy UltraLap 430. When I realized that I could upgrade my trusty notebook to almost the same specs as the Lemur Ultra for half of its price, my decision was made. I would give up the longer battery life and settle for half the RAM, but I would end up with my high-performance dream machine. I'm willing to wait another couple of years for the technology to advance even further before replacing the HP outright. After I ordered the 8 gigabytes of RAM and the 512 gigabyte M4 series SSD drive recommended for my HP Pavilion DM4 notebook on the Crucial website, I began to look into what special considerations I would need when using an SSD drive on a Linux-powered notebook. I had read that SSD drives can read data 2 to 3 times faster than spinning SATA drives, that they boot and shut down faster, and that they are more reliable, quieter, and cooler because they have no moving parts. I also read that SSD drives have a limited number of writes, 3,000 to 10,000 depending on design. So I did some research, found a handful of things you need to do to optimize a Linux notebook for an SSD drive. So here are the 5 tweaks to make to optimize your Linux computer for a solid state drive. Number 1, enable the trim command to clean up garbage on the drive. You can do this as long as the Linux kernel is 2.6.33 or later, and you're using ext4 or another trim-friendly file system. Number 2, stop the system from recording every time files are accessed. By default, Linux writes this information onto the drive for each file your system touches every time it touches a file. Number 3, use RAM instead of the SSD drive for storing temp and log files. Number 4, swap more to RAM instead of the SSD. And number 5, prioritize reads over writes. Of course, we'll have all of this information in the show notes in detail, but let me describe how you can accomplish these 5 tweaks in our podcast. First, enabling trim and reducing writes to the hard drive. You make the first 3 tweaks that I've listed by editing the fstab file in the etsy directory. You use 3 flags to reduce SSD writes. One is no a time, N-O-A-T-I-M-E. Another is no dir a time, that's N-O-D-I-R-A-T-I-M-E, and discard. First, edit the fstab as administrator. On Mint, I opened a terminal window and typed the command sudo space gedit space slash etsy, that's etc, slash fstab, that's the fstab file. Next, I edited the file to add the flags to the line that represents my SSD drive. It may be a line that begins with UUID or with slash dev slash SDA something or other, or something similar depending on your Linux distribution. And the show notes will point to the article where there's a cut and paste from my fstab file that lists exactly what you're supposed to do. I've commented out the original line and added in a replacement line with the flags. And essentially it's UUID equals and then the character string that represents the hard drive, then a slash, then ext4, which is the file format I'm using, then the no a time flag, a comma, the no dir a time flag, then a comma, then discard, then a comma, then errors equals remount dash ro a space 0 and then a space 1. Most of that was already there. Really, all I did was added the flags in front of the word errors, and that was the final edit for that. While you have the fstab file open for editing, you should add the 4 lines in the article that allow you to use RAM instead of your SSD for storing temp and log files. And essentially, the 4 lines relate to the temp directory, the var slash log directory, the var slash spool directory, and the var slash temp directory. And we're using RAM for that instead of the SSD, and that will cut down on the number of writes to the SSD for that purpose. Finally, you save the fstab file, and then you will need to reboot your computer in order to remount the SSD drive using the new flags that you've just changed. Next, we want to swap more to RAM instead of the SSD drive. We've had a post previously on reducing swappiness and discussed it in previous episodes, but just to review, you can add a couple of lines to the /sysctl.conf file. Sysctl is sysctl.conf in the etc directory. And these two lines will make the system swap more to RAM. In the article, we'll also have a copy and paste from my sysctl.conf file with the two lines spelled out exactly. So if you're driving or if you can't remember any of this, please check out the show notes and the article, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about here. So the two lines to add are vm.swappiness, SWAPPINESS, equals 1, and then vm.vfs, as in virtual file system, underscore cache, cache, underscore pressure, pressure, equals 50. So with those two lines added, that reduces the swappiness of your hard drive, so it swaps less. From what I've read, what this is doing is essentially causing Linux to reduce the amount of time it actually uses the swap files to a bare minimum. And by default, if there's no swap file, it'll use RAM anyway. So this is reducing the amount of time that it actually writes the swap out to the hard drive, forcing Linux to use RAM instead. And the last piece of advice is to prioritize reads over writes. So to do this, you edit your grub bootloader's configuration file to organize what's called the I/O scheduler to maximize performance. First, run this command to check the current active scheduler. Cat space slash sys slash block slash sda slash q, that's q-u-e-u-e, slash scheduler. After installing my SSD, the result of that command comes back with noop, N-O-O-P, space deadline in square brackets, space cfq. The active scheduler is the one that appears in brackets. From what I've read, noop is essentially no scheduler at all. It uses a first-in, first-out prioritization. Deadline prioritizes reads over writes. This is what you want for SSD drives. CFQ, completely fair queuing, is the default and is designed for traditional rotating drives. And this is what your computer will likely already be set to if you're using a spinning drive. But before you make any changes to your grub, ensure that you use the cat command that I described previously to determine which scheduler is actually active. On my Mint 14 64-bit system, the active scheduler was already set to deadline, even though the grub file does not reflect the edits that I'm going to detail in a moment. Mint 14 appears to have detected the presence of the new SSD drive on its own and automatically switched itself to use deadline. Next, let's edit the grub file. So for Ubuntu and other distributions using grub 2, you would type at a terminal sudo space gedit space slash etsy slash default slash grub. Then add deadline to the grub underscore command line underscore Linux underscore default line. And where you place that is, it says grub underscore command line underscore Linux underscore default equals, and then in quotation marks, quiet space splash space, and then you would add elevator equals deadline. Lastly, to finalize the changes after you save the file, run sudo space update dash grub 2 or sudo space update dash grub. You'll find which one you're supposed to use referenced in the comments at the top of the grub file itself, so look there for information about your particular installation of Linux. So now, with increased RAM, a solid-state drive, and these five tweaks, my two-year-old HP DM4 has become a fast-booting, high-performance dream machine. So check out the show notes and check out the article linked from the show notes page and also available on our articles tab on the website for specific directions and examples of what those files look like after I've made the edits. And you too can replace your spinning drive with an SSD drive and optimize Linux so that you can get the best performance out of your SSD drive. Our next episode will be Computer America number 58, and we'll catch up on our listener feedback episodes beginning in February. Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations. And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the forums to leave your topic suggestions in the thread labeled Topic Suggestions. Our forum is available at forum.goinglinux.com. If you want to support our efforts, click the donate button while you're there on the website. You can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com, and our voicemail is 1-904-468-7889. Follow our show updates on Twitter. You can tweet us at goinglinux, or join our Google Plus community. Look for Going Linux Podcast. You can download the episodes from our website, or you can play them right there from the show notes page. Until next time, thanks for listening. Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.